This week on the Digital Marketing Scoop, it's all about personal brand. We've gone and done a mashup of all our episodes around personal branding over the last couple of years. So if you're looking at building your own personal brand, I think you're going to get a lot of value from this episode. Hope you enjoy it. I think I first met you maybe back in 2012, I think, when Elite kicked off. So, I mean, in that time, you have, whatever it is now, eight years, you've developed what I would say is a massively strong personal brand. Whether it's your own brand, whether it's Elite, whether it's Bebel, but I think you've been able to leverage your own personal brand to build those businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's I really, having had a spa prior to Elite Pilates up in Dublin, one thing I wanted to do when I came to Cork was let people get to know me, but primarily not be the face of the business, because it was really important that it was about the people that worked there. So that's really hard to gauge. So then it all became much more about personal brand than it did about the brand of the business.
Yeah. And I suppose what's exciting about personal brand, and we were only actually having a quick chat about it beforehand, is that you can use that then to launch new products, to launch new brands that might be under different names or have their own kind of their own personality even.
Yeah.
But because you have built up that kind of brand equity already with your own name, it's giving you the power to launch those other names and those other brands.
Oh, absolutely. And when you know, now you have to be very open with your personal brand. So, you know, you'll only then develop businesses that you're really passionate about and really love and hit the gut, because you can't do it any other way.
No, it's going to, if you're out there promoting a business and you don't love it, it's going to come across like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's so hard to fake.
I mean, I could ask any, say, of my followers, say on Instagram, what are my three favorite brands that I don't own, and they tell me, because when I love something, I love it, you know, I'm 100% in, and when I don't love something anymore, I'm 100% out.
In terms of starting up and putting yourself out there, did you have reservations against that, or did it just kind of come naturally to you? And I think that is a big barrier for a lot of people, is they might have these great ideas, they might have a business already, but they're just kind of afraid to put themselves out there.
Yeah, do you have any advice for them on that? Yeah, definitely advice. I never had the fear, thank God. I think, I suppose, as you get bigger, it might come with that. Like, you know, when there's more eyes watching, it might give you a little bit of a fear. And obviously, as you get bigger as well, maybe, I actually don't know, but I presume maybe brands have guidelines, be like, you can't say this, you can't do that. But for me, I just like do whatever I want, say whatever I want, and I think the people who want to see that will stay. And if they don't like me for being, let's say, me, then I don't want them to follow me anyway. And the same with brands, like I don't really want to work with brands that would like me for what I do naturally. Like if they were saying, oh, we're not going to work with you unless you stop doing that or stop saying that, then it's not a right match, you know. And I think as a blogger or an influencer, your main, let's say, job is to create content that will benefit everyone, you know, that there's no point in doing things if your audience isn't going to like it. Like, they're your main, like, stakeholder, I suppose you could say.
And how have you found working with brands so far? Are they giving you kind of leeway to do what
completely
you want to do?
Yeah, 100%, which is great, because that's the whole fun of it, is being creative and getting to use your imagination. Like, should there be no fun or creativity or anything needed if a brand just said, say this, do this, you know? Yeah. So it's coming up with the ideas is the fun part, and actually putting it into action. So I'm really lucky that way.
And the other thing as well is that we've said it before as well, with it probably won't work for the brand if they don't give you that creative freedom, because your audience
sometimes
knows.
Of course, now there'd be like a brief or something, well, like idea that they're trying to focus on, but more likely than not, they're always going to say, we trust your creative opinion, work away. And then of course you have to send them over for approval and stuff and whatever else. But no, I've been really lucky, especially Smooch is one of my favorite brands to work with. I've been working with them since last summer, and like, we do really, really fun things. Like, they give me so much like room for freedom. Like, I even started doing YouTube with them, which is great, because I said straight out to them, I was like, I really want to focus on YouTube. And like, they, even though I don't have a lot of followers over there, they were like, yeah, work away, like, we trust you and stuff. And I have a really great relationship with them, so that's really good as well. And I like how we don't have to always like focus on ice cream, even though it's an ice cream brand. Like, they give me just like kind of ideas, and we work really well together. So
that's really good.
They're,
I just think
one of my favorites to work with, just because they do give me that like so much creativity.
I think if the, as well, like, if you put up a post that was branded and was really heavily influenced by the brand, the people would likely scroll past it, maybe not even for a second realize it was you, do you know? And just kind of, it just looks like an ad.
Yeah, people don't like ads, screaming ads, you know what I mean? And I think that's why influencer marketing probably does work better than like TV ads, because I even know myself, I like skip through them or go out to get like something from the kitchen. Whereas like, even if I see ad on one of my favorite bloggers' posts, I'll read through it because I'm like, they're similar to me, they have similar interests.
Like,
you can kind of relate to it a bit more. And obviously everyone needs to make a living at the end of the day. I know there's like pros and cons of people doing ads, but it's a job, you know, at the end of the day. And everyone, there's ads on radio, there's ads on podcasts, you know, so it's just part of it, I suppose. And I think once you're staying true to your brand and your audience, there's not an issue with it.
That's the thing, like, that's the difference.
Things that you'd actually use anyway. Yeah. And I always do that. Like, if someone gets onto me, I'll use it 100 times over and make sure I like it, just because you don't want to be the one responsible either, you know?
So
it falls back on you either way. There's no benefit in promoting something just for money. It shows through and you end up losing out in the long run. So
that's
just
the
better
thing.
Off being true.
I always bring them back to the initial story. What's the purpose? What change do you want to make in the world? And I know it's very like, it's a bit Disney, like, what's your vision and how are you going to change the world? But actually, some people, when they deconstruct what they're actually doing, they realize, actually, yeah, that's the most fulfilling part of my work. And that's how you get a really authentic brand story. When the person, like, people buy from people, we all know that, that's not a secret. But people forget to put a sprinkle of themselves in what they're doing. And like, especially if you're trying to build a team, if you don't know what the vision is, there's many people in business today and have employees. If you ask their employee, what are you actually doing here? What's the bigger picture? They'd be like, well, I'm just having, you know, my wages come in and I do. I couldn't care less. But when you get a really motivated employee, it's the one that understands the bigger story, but they understand and they're valued in their part of that story, you know? So like, how do we start a brand? Like, we bring it back to that purpose and people think, oh, let's just fire a logo on it and then we're in business. Like, no. So like, down to even, I get a bit crazy when it comes to logos and branding. It comes down to color. Like, I'm not a graphic designer, just to clarify that. People miss that first step. People jump in and they put colors and they put, you know, whatever the trendy logos are right now.
But I was going to say, you know, Instagram, I feel like loads of people are choosing colors and logos that are designed and will look beautiful on Instagram, but they haven't thought much more than, oh, it looks nice on Instagram.
If they want to get started just in the influencer space, so from whether it's on their end, tracking it, monetizing it, how you would show them the results, that kind of thing. What kind of advice would you have for them to kind of, I suppose, dip their toe into the into that side of things initially?
I think affiliate kind of programs or links are your best way, because you're only giving away, let's say, a commission when you're benefiting. So it's not like a flat fee where even if you get no sales back, you're after losing out on whatever they're after charging. So with an affiliate program or affiliate link, you'd only give a commission when you're after kind of
selling,
gaining yourself. So you could give it away. Of course, it depends on like the margin of the business. Like, sometimes things are 1%. Sometimes you could get a decent amount. But I think that's definitely the best way to like dip your foot in, or like affiliate codes as well. Or even if you didn't have budget to do affiliate codes, even just a normal code, so you can track, like, the followers would get discount, but the blogger themselves doesn't get anything out of it. It's a really good way of like tracking who's the most active, who's the most engaged, and you can kind of follow up on it that way. And then obviously, as your business grows and you have more budget, if influencer marketing is something you want to get into, then you can look into like maybe brand ambassadorships or flat fees and stuff. Because I find as well, the reason I like having like brand ambassadorships and monthly rolling things like Smooches, it comes, it's like really authentic. It's something that I love, whereas sometimes it once off posts, even if it's something I love and I'll use it organically loads after, it can still look a little bit like, oh, but it was only kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's whereas not the consistency
when, yeah,
with
when,
it.
Yeah, when there's consistency there and people know that you're always using it, even when there's not a hashtag ad there, that's what I love
yeah.
the most.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's the thing, I suppose, when you're working with a brand long term like that, mm-hmm. without even knowing it, you'll end up talking about the brand because really, you have
yeah,
to be
exactly.
using it or whatever.
I think it's really yeah. important to nearly love them organically first, even yeah. before you talk about even doing affiliate things, just because it's beneficial for everyone. There's no point in putting a plan together and say, yeah, let's work together, and no one's ever heard of them before, the brand has never done influencer marketing before, the blogger's never worked with the brand, the audience never heard of it. It just comes across really kind of like forced, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. It's again, like I said, it's very unstable, it's very new, everyone's still testing it, you know. Like
yeah.
people in digital marketing don't know 100% what's working, what's not working as of yet. Bloggers yeah. don't know, you know. It's just about trying and testing, and I yeah. suppose we're so lucky that there is a huge way of checking metrics and analytics that it's a little bit easier to
yeah,
track
yeah,
it and
yeah.
trace it and stuff, you know.
And notice yeah. on that, that's a great thing for brands to get started with, is actually keeping an eye on who is already talking about their
Definitely.
products, because mm-hmm. those people are likely the best people
yeah, exactly.
to get in touch
yeah.
with
yeah.
as well. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why press drops and stuff work so well,
yeah.
because you could get like, I don't know, 20 persons a week, let's say, and if you post about one and you love it so much, they're going to keep an eye on you, as opposed to the one that you didn't open on for a week later, you know.
Yeah,
so it's about like creating those relationships early and like being appreciative of everything. Like, of course there's a lot of yeah. perks that come with it, along with all, let's say there's a lot of slating, I'm lucky I don't get that much, but like there's a lot of negative things that come up putting yourself out there, so you have to
yeah.
kind of be grateful for the perks, but just like survive the negatives as well, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that can be a hard part of anyone.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest fear of anyone going out and putting themselves out
yeah,
there as 100%. Well. Yeah.
You just have to have a really tough skin if you are going to put yourself out there. But I think after all the tragedies and things that have happened the past few weeks and months and stuff, that people are starting to cop
yeah.
on. I know, you know, Sabrina Hill from Copper, she's doing a
yes,
really
yes.
great kind of campaign herself called Be Accountable. So every
yeah.
week she's sharing, or every day she's sharing like 3 positive accounts and telling people to follow them, because obviously with the algorithm on Instagram, if you're engaging with negative content or part of those anonymous groups,
see
you're
more.
Actually giving
yeah.
them more fuel and more hype, whereas
yeah.
if you're completely ignoring them and engaging with positive accounts, they're going to outweigh the negative. Which is, I don't know how it took so like so long to come up with this idea, but literally the second that she said it, I was like, yes, this is actually making such a
Fair
big
play.
difference.
Yeah,
yeah, so she's flying. Yeah. She'd be a great person to get actually in on the podcast as well.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll jot that down.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's brilliant, she's really really great. She talks a lot of like wisdom. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, people quite often say Instagram is a negative place, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. It's watch your feed. I do something at the moment where I put up 5 or 6 feeds every morning. The first things I see when I wake up, the only message I give out on the Bebel platform is positive.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, the only things I see a positive.
Yeah. Who are you subscribing to? Like,
that's,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
That's how the algorithm works, guys. You see
yeah.
what you portray.
Yeah, but that's in real life as well, the real life algorithm too. I mean, like, who do you surround yourself with in real
yeah.
life? If you're surrounding yourself with people who are just bringing you down, you're going to feel that in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the exact
100%.
Same when you open an app on your phone.
Yeah, if someone's really negative,
yeah,
then you're going to be negative. Someone's really positive, they're going to lift you up
yeah,
as well.
Exactly,
and that it does. It goes exactly for what you're scrolling through on your feed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, our human psychology hasn't changed. We're just socializing in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, that's all
yeah,
it is.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, I always say quite often, I'll walk down the street and I with my Be Kind T-shirt.
Yeah.
And people's reaction is very, very different on that day. Because people read it. Some people read it and you can see their face in their head. They're thinking, why is she telling me to be kind? I am kind. What's her problem? I am
yeah,
kind.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are people that ain't smiling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other people, they read it straight away, look at you and give you the biggest smile. And a smile creates a smile. Simple as.
Yeah.
100%.
So,
yeah.
So it's all about message. It's
yeah.
all about mirroring. We all know about mirroring. It's all about, you know, if you smile, someone smiles. If you walk up them with the face like a,
yeah.
you know, they look like it, with a face like a. So it's mirroring, you know, you mirror what's around you.
Yeah,
and
completely.
There's no problem as well. You know, I always say to people, I often do talks on decluttering, and that includes people.
Yeah.
And when I always say to people, that's not, you know, if you have that friend, and we all have that friend that you go, hi, how's it going? They go, oh, well, you know, and you go inside, you just go, oh my God, I can't do this today. I can't do this today. And you go, oh, that's my phone. I'll give you a ring. Because you have to be careful and protect yourself
it's not saying don't spend time with that person,
yeah,
but it's saying protect yourself at the time that you spend with them.
Yeah.
And I would rather plan that in, yes, so that I know that my energy might be drained a little bit, rather than just get a surprise with it.
Yeah, I think people underestimate a lot of the time, like the battery in your phone, you'll just start dropping quickly if a lot is needed, yeah, of you, you know. And even like any that'll happen anytime. I mean, if you have a rough day, you're just going to go home and you're going to be wrecked. Absolutely. And it's going to be the exact same if you're talking to someone who's taking the life out of you.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, difficult. But and it's not, like I say, it's not about,
no,
you know, because listen, we all go through bad times.
Exactly, yeah.
And at times I want to be that person there for my friend, as you know,
yeah,
as well,
of course,
because
yeah,
everybody goes through stuff,
yeah,
and everybody needs that friend to listen, and I'll always be that friend.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is just protect yourself,
yeah,
so that when you give them time, you give them all of your time and listening.
Yeah, I think that's the, especially in that, that if you don't protect yourself in that way, you're not going
to
be able to help them anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's that.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we got really deep there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm actually a very deep person, Mark. I'm having that.
The digital marketing psychology.
But it's so true. And it's going to come across. Like, if you're surrounded by negativity, you're going to be negative.
Yeah.
If you're surrounded by positivity, you're a much better chance you're going to be 100%. Positive.
And I think, you know, and it's not about blasting people every day with, you must be happy and choose to be happy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
look, we have shit days. You're allowed,
yeah,
to have a shit,
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah.
But all I'm saying is, like, yesterday morning, you know, I woke up, it was not a good day for me. But I knew it was going to get better.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to meet some inspirational people last night.
Yeah.
So I made the choice to either, am I going to stay in and not go and meet these fantastic people? No, I'm going to make the choice to go, to change my mood.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm just in that,
yeah,
hole. And so, you know, it is about choices too.
Yeah, you can be positive about something crap.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very often out of the negative comes something extremely positive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like where, you know, just even working in the business and something bad happens and then you try and flip it,
yes,
around. Okay, how can we turn this into a positive for,
yeah,
us? I think that mindset is extremely important.
Yeah.
Because if you are, you know, you're not running a business, shit happens all the fucking,
absolutely,
time.
Absolutely. And I never say, sorry, I can't. I always say, did you know I can?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because,
yeah,
if I can't do something for somebody, there's actually always something I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never say I can't.
Yeah.
You know, and even as a teacher, a Pilates instructor, my clients will tell you, we don't use that word in our class, because there's always a way to find a way to
a good
do
outcome.
It. Always.
Yeah, yeah.
There's,
yeah,
always.
And
always
the digital marketer in me is like, and it's always a piece of content.
That I must work on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, down to the psychology of it nearly. Like, so did you ever hear the story of Drunk Tank Pink?
No.
Tell us.
You're going to Google this on your next one. But basically, it's like to do with semiotics and the psychology behind colour. So back in the, I want to say the 80s, could be the 70s, I don't know. Who cares about the details? But it's basically in prisons in the States, they started using this colour called drunk tank pink. So when they had really aggressive people that they arrested, people on a rowdy night out or something, and they needed to put them in a cell overnight, they put them in these cells that were very calming and very pink.
Cool.
Psychology behind it is it took them back to, this is all subconscious. Now, clearly they're not in the cell going, oh, this is lovely. The psychology made them feel like they were in a safe place, like in the womb. So like the example I use for my business is my logo. Like people are like, oh, you obviously chose pink because it's about women. But it actually was about creating a safe place for them. So like there was a lot of strategic thought went into the colors that I chose to build the brand, you know, around. The other one would be navy. And again, because I knew I was going to be teaching in whatever capacity at the time, like businesses will evolve, but what won't change is the values. So I always knew that navy is a color that you'd see in branding that would be used with banks or like kind of professional services. But for me, I wanted to bring a layer of that academic, like I have studied in the areas. Obviously, anyone I bring on board to do training will be, you know, have a very solid background of experience and academic, you know, time put in, I suppose. But so like things like that, like people may not know, I tell people often, but like those kind of things are subconscious. So like people see a bit of pink, but they see a bit of depth then coming in the navy and the sprinkle of gold and choosing stars. They're all well thought out to remind people that we're all just on a journey and we're all rising. There's gold in all of us. So like that sprinkle of gold is always going to be, you know, around my brand. So like when I work with clients, then I try to come back to that untangling of what they think they're doing and what they're actually doing. Like what feeling do you want? It's about feelings, really. All of that whole, the overarching theme of what I do is brand storytelling. And it's always about feelings. And I know Mark, you'd be like, oh, here she goes now with the feelings. And it's all.
Yeah, Mark, what's a Clicks Colors feeling?
Impact.
Love it.
It was like when it comes down to it, like there's a lot happening in the psyche or like in the psychology of it all. So like we want people to, you know, I want people to understand what outcome are you selling. So on my page, I'm not selling products or services or branding help. I'm selling a feeling. I want people to be motivated. I want people to have the practical skills, right? So I try to get clients to think the same way. So like if you're a recent example, actually, is a gym that I was working with, you know, they're in a completely saturated market space. So we went back to the inside of what that person really, what are their values? And his values were basically, actually, I want people to be happy and live a better life and just be better. So the colors that we rooted all of our work in was yellow, because that's the feeling. He wants people to be buzzed and to be really energized from any interaction with his brand. So like, it's very simple. And it's actually a space that when I get into it with people, they really enjoy it. Even people that don't think that they're a marketing folk, they get into it and they're like, oh, I get it. Like, I really get it. Like, you know, what I'm actually selling is a convenience or, you know, a transformation, or I'm selling, you know, it's not always about what the outputs are in terms of the tangible things people are buying. Yeah. So it makes it really easy and enjoyable then. So like when they're creating a logo, I always say to people, your logo is your first employee. It has to do some of the heavy lifting. It has to be, everything we do in marketing is about getting things top of mind. So like you want to be remembered, you want to be recalled easily. So like your colors, your symbols, all of those elements will help push that process up, you know? So like, yeah, look at the Nike logo, for instance. If we take the symbol on its own, we all know it means just do it, and it's aspirational and it's go for it, you know? So we should all be in a place that if we took the names and the words away from what we're doing, people will start to recognize what it's about still, you know, and that takes time. That's not going to happen overnight, but I suppose that's the ultimate goal of branding in my eyes, that it's a culmination of everything. It's not just a slap a logo on it and away we go, you know.
And was there a moment on, we'd say on that journey, you kind of realized the power of personal brand, or was there like some moment like that, like a click moment, or is it just over time things built?
So I actually, I was thinking about this question because myself and Jen were talking about it, and yeah. I realised the power of personal brand at a very, very young age. I would have been about 6.
Wow.
Okay, which I know people are going to go, no, she didn't. It wasn't called brand when I was 6. But I understood the power of branding because my dad worked for himself. And I recently spoke about this actually on my somebody interviewed me on Beatbelt podcast, and my dad really was the person of the community.
Yeah.
So he ran a pub, and he sent me and my sister out to run the Sunday school so that the kids would come into the pub after Sunday school because they demand their parents to bring them there. And our family were a brand. Way before the Kardashians, let me say. Way before. At that time, it was called reputation. It was called what people think of you.
Yeah.
But now it's called brand. But I understood the power of that very, very young because my dad ingrained it into us.
Yeah.
Of what people's perception meant.
there's a rule with me is if you teach something, you have to work for yourself. You have to have felt it and been through it and knowing the agony and knowing the amazingness of when something goes right and how horrible it is jumping around a room by yourself, celebrating by yourself. Do you know what I mean? So actually what I worked out then was I'd created a brand and I created this huge network before I knew I needed it. And that is the key. You don't go out searching for a network when you think you want to start a business. You network before you do that business, because networking actually is making friends and having interest in people and knowing what they do. And that's so important. You know, I probably didn't tell anybody that I owned Elite Pilates for 2 years in network.
Really?
Well, no, they all kind of knew.
Just literally just going in kind of...
I was too interested in what they did.
That's a fantastic way to be, obviously. Yeah.
I used to get excited. You know, what do you do? What do you do? Like, oh my God, you know, everybody's like really interesting. So, and then lots of people just didn't ask me. So I was like, well, I'm not going to sell it to them.
Yeah.
But, and people say, do you get a lot of business? Do you get a lot of business from people in network? And I say, do you know, funny enough, there's not loads of people that come to me from network. I certainly have a few girls that come, but the amount of people that come and say, oh, I was out with my friend having coffee the other day and I said, oh, my back is hurting. And she said, oh, you must go to Elite. Sean's fantastic. She's got a great team. Do you know what I mean? It's planting seeds in people's brains to be the first thing on the end of someone's tongue, to be the person that they shout for in a room of opportunity and vice versa. You know, I spent years asking other people what they needed from me and what help I could give them. And actually, when I needed it the most, they all came running.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. I think one of the things there is that we'll say you may not know exactly how you're going to leverage your personal brand.
Yeah.
But when the opportunity comes along, you have that audience of people who've now got your back and are there to support you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazingly powerful. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of the Digital Marketing Scoop. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't subscribed yet, please jump into your Apple Podcast, your Google Podcast, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast platform is, and just make sure to follow and subscribe. Also, if you'd like to leave a review if you enjoyed the episode, I'd absolutely love for you to do that. We put out an episode every single week, all with digital marketing tips, case studies, ways to build your business with digital marketing. Also, if you are interested in bringing your own business online or looking at scaling your business, we'd love to chat with you here at Click. You can visit us online at CLIQ.ie.